All right, guys. So we're here with the number 11 ranked bantamweight in the UFC, Rob Font. So, Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So obviously, I have a question because obviously you're in the bantamweight division, and with UFC 250, I mean that was kind of like cleaning up and bringing some clarity to your division. So, what did you think of? Like Garbrandt's performance and Sterling, and I mean Stamen and Kelleher. I mean that night was basically moving night for the bantamweights.
Yeah, you know that was a great night for the division. You know, Aljamain looked amazing. First round, got in, got out real quick. It was super entertaining. Shouts out to him. Cody Garbrandt. That was you know come on, that was amazing as well. So you know, it's just the whole that whole card. Sugar Shane looked awesome. Corey Stamen stepped up and got a W, it was an awesome night. I was excited the whole time watching the fight, and I'm excited to see who I get next.
Right. Is there anyone like you currently have your eye on? Like maybe it was somebody who won that night, maybe it's somebody ranked a little bit higher. I mean, is there anyone in particular you want next?
I wouldn't mind getting there like Cody Stamen or like a Cody Garbrandt or somebody like that. But right now I'm just focusing on rehab. I still got a couple months rehab for my knee. Then once we get to that to that time, so talking about fighting and all that, I'm pretty sure I'll really get a name and get after it.
Right. You were supposed to fight Stamen, right? Weren't you supposed to fight him at a card like earlier in the year or maybe like a year and a half ago, and you didn't end up getting that fight?
Yeah, UFC Greenville was supposed to fight, and he got injured, didn't happen, and then, the fight just didn't happen.
Right, so you train at two gyms, right? Is it Lozon MMA and Team Sityodong? Is that where you're training at currently?
No, I train with it's called New England Cartel.
Right.
So we got a gym in Haverhill, so.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you guys actually have your own gym. I thought that was just like your like group, the New England Cartel.
No, we got our own gym. This is a gym in Haverhill, okay. Massachusetts. You gotta come check it out.
Yeah, man. Eventually. I hope
come
so.
Get this to work.
Dude, I'll come down there, man. I don't care. Whenever you so what is your favorite fight throughout your career? I mean, win or lose, is there any one fight in particular that either you learned a lot from or like you just took a lot more from one particular fight than you did from any other fight?
Not really. You know, they're all learning. They're all stepping stones. I cherish each fight. So I pick two. I'm sorry. I learn a lot from obviously every fight. But cause for me to pick and choose would be hard because they're always so different. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think of your teammate Kelvin Kattar's performance against Stevens? I mean, that elbow was beautiful, man.
Yeah, man, that guy is a complete savage, man. He came in there, did his thing, got the elbow finish, and put Jeremy Stevens away. A big veteran, with a big name, So it was a great night. I watched him throw that elbow a million times. It was great to see it, see it come play out the way it did.
What do you think of his upcoming fight? Because obviously he just got announced for fighting on July 15th against Dan Ige. So what do you think of that fight for him in particular?
I absolutely love the matchup. It's a great fight. It's going to be exciting. We get he gets a second opportunity to get a main event spot, and I'm excited to see him go out there and put this guy away.
Right. I'm really hoping that he gets to fight Zabit again in a 5-round fight because. The fact that that fight got changed to 3 rounds, I mean, that just, man, I was so looking forward to that being 5 rounds when it was the main event. And I know he would have finished him if it was longer than those 3 rounds.
I know, man. Everybody feels the same way. But, it was 3 rounds. We started too late. I mean, to get the job done. So, that was on us. And I guarantee if he gets that rematch, we won't play out like that.
Right, exactly. What do you think is like the most important aspect of the striking game? Because I mean, obviously you're a well-rounded mixed martial artist, a good striker, a good grappler, good in the clinch. But is there one in particular area that you think maybe some fighters overlook when it comes to striking that you find is so important?
Yes, a lot of obviously everybody says it is kind of boring, but it's the footwork and the motions. you know, a lot of motions, a lot of side-to-side motions, up and down motions, lots of footwork. I think if you can neglect that at all in striking, you know, you're definitely going to be a step behind.
Yeah, exactly. I think fakes and feints. I mean, you even saw with O'Malley's performance at 250. I mean, he faked the uppercut and then threw the right hand. And I mean, without that fake, that right hand probably wouldn't have landed. So
exactly. You know, he was in the right position. He faked that uppercut through the straight right. So it landed perfect. It was a beautiful shot. And you know, it all starts with the footwork and the feints. And you know, it was a clean shot, man.
Your jab is probably one of the most successful strikes you throw in your career. I mean, your jab it just comes out. There's no wind up. It's just popping it. And is there any specific drills you do when you're training or if it's in sparring that really helps you to refine it? Or is it just like repetition over and over and over again?
It's, definitely repetitions, but I'm on the double end bag a lot. Like, I always warm up on the double end bag, and I'm constant. I got one at the house. I got one at the gym. Always just trying to hit the double end bag. So definitely, say, you know, get yourself a double end bag if you want to develop a nice jab.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously, right now we've got the COVID-19 pandemic, and you know, as people thought it started to calm down, and then you know, it's obviously, I don't think it's calmed down much at all. I mean, what is it like having to train with like a smaller group during all this stuff going on?
You know, honestly, it hasn't really changed for us. We always had like a smaller group, and then we would bring in certain guys to spar with, and or we would go to some certain gyms and spar with those guys. But it wouldn't be such a huge group all the time, so it wasn't that big of a change.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get the opportunity to go down to Lozon's at all. So we still got to work in as wherever we was at, but yeah, it wasn't that big of a change.
Okay. Is there one coach or fighter in particular that you've got to train with outside of your normal gyms that you go to that really was like special and just you really soaked a lot of information in?
Charles Rosa. I got the opportunity to train with him in Florida at AGT, and he showed me a lot of stuff, shit too, and wrestling. So I would say Charles Rosa.
Okay. Yeah. He just had that fight against, wasn't it Bryce Mitchell, right? Didn't he just fight him?
Yep, he fought him, but he just fought somebody else. I can't remember. Oh,
yeah, you're right. I can't think of the guy. He just fought like a week or two ago.
Yep, I'm sure no is it anyone. Nice striking match.
Right. Who do you think is one fighter or training partner that you work with on a regular basis that doesn't have the biggest exposure yet, but they're really on their way up and working to get to the top?
I would say Dennis Paiva. Look him up. Dennis Paiva. He fights a lot for CES. Okay. Has amazing power. Check him out. He's probably the best 35er that in the Northeast that nobody knows about.
Okay. You know, you've competed. I mean, it said it on Sure Dog. You've competed at 135, 145, and 155. I mean, how beneficial is it to be able to have experience competing in those three different weight classes? Is it, I mean, because a lot of guys will stay in one weight class for their whole career. I mean, how beneficial is it to have competed in three separate weight classes for you?
Well, yeah, I got to feel like a lot of different type of body types as far as like super long guys, stockier, bigger guys. So I got to just feel different strengths, different type of speeds, and different type of pressure. So a little bit of everything coming up in my career on the local scene.
I saw in another interview, were you and Kelvin going to fight like before you got into the UFC and everything? Obviously, you guys were on the same circuit in like the lower circuit scene, local scene. Were you guys supposed to fight at one point back in the day?
No, it was never booked. It was never set up. We were always like number one and two in the 45 division. So we were eventually trying to clash, but it just never happened. But we definitely had our eyes on each other, which never worked out. Then eventually started training together. And now he's my number one training partner.
Right. You've cornered teammates before. I mean, obviously with Kelvin and I think, I don't know if you've cornered Bochniak before, but I'm pretty sure I think you would have. How different is it when you're in the corner and you have to give like advice to a fighter than being in there and actually having to listen to your own corner?
It's a little nerve-wracking leading up to the fight, but once we're there, And the bell rings, it's just like I'm fighting, or I clock in and it's straight business. But beforehand, because you know you're not in control. Like when I'm fighting, I'm in control of whatever I want to do. You know, obviously, like when guy like Calvin's fighting, I'm not in control, so I can't feel what he's feeling. I can't see what he's really seeing. So it's it's a little different. But once it starts going, and I would say at least by like the 30-second mark, I'm locked in, clicked in, and ready to see whatever he can't see.
Right. You know, what is it like for you on fight day? I mean, do you get extra nervous? Do you have any certain like rituals or superstitions you have when you go for fight day? I mean, what is it like? Walk me through a traditional fight day for you.
Honestly, it's boring. I'm in the hotel room with my dogs. You know, I got Catherine in the bathroom doing her hair, doing her makeup. It's basic. You know, it's real boring. I'm just waiting. It's like a hurry up and wait. I wake up, I gotta find things to do, really. Take as many walks as I possibly can, and just try to stay as calm as possible, because, you know, right when we get on the shuttle, we gotta get to the arena, then we gotta wait some more, then wait some more. So it's kind of like you try to stay calm until they call your name, and then you gotta just, you know, get in that place and in that zone and go to work.
Is it kind of like you're just waiting for it all day? You're waiting for it to just be in there and get it over with, because the buildup is usually so much worse than actually getting in there?
Yeah. You know, it sucks. For me, honestly, it's just like once I make weight, I'm like, all right, cool. Now I'm just got to wait. And, you know, that's the worst part. But, you know, the fight week is fun. It gets real fun right after weigh-ins, and then it's just kind of calm until the fight. And then from there, it gets to being chaos, and then we celebrate after with a W.
Right. If there was one guy that you haven't got to train with, either a coach or a fighter that you haven't gotten to train with yet, is there one guy in particular, I mean, legend, up-and-comer, that you would really like to get some work in with?
I was talking about this the other day with working with Dan Hardy.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah, I never got to work with him. You know, I love his striking style. That left hook he had,
right,
or has, I should say, is top notch. So I definitely wouldn't mind getting some work with him.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping he comes back and at least has one more fight. Because wasn't he talking about at least coming back, trying to come back for one more?
Yeah, I heard some rumors. So hopefully, man. Hopefully.
Yeah, man. I remember when he fought GSP, and I was like, I was hoping he was going to catch him. But man, that was prime GSP back then.
Yeah, that was tough. I do wrestling at that point was something different.
Yeah, he's. I'm hoping we get to see GSP back at least one more time too, man. He's one of my all time favorites, and I mean, the fight against Bisping, I thought he was going to get caught. Honestly, I mean, I wanted GSP to win, but I figured Bisping was going to catch him. But when he sunk in that choke, I was like, man, that's it. You're not getting out of that thing.
Yeah, man. You know, it's tough. Once they get in that tight, it's hard. You know.
Is there one area of training? I mean, you're obviously primarily like a striker and like to work in the clinch, but is there one area of jiu-jitsu that you really like to train, like just to refine it over and over again?
Yeah, you know, I love, you know, working from the back, like the back control, choking, armbar triangles from the back, just really getting there, taking the back and, you know, working any type of submissions from the back. But that's probably, I would say, one of the positions I drill the most.
Yeah, you know, I think one of my favorite fights, I mean, one of the fights I like to watch a lot from you is your Sun Tzu fight. Because, I mean, even though, you know, you didn't get the job done, I mean, you showed a lot in that fight, I thought, back when, I mean, that fight was when? A year and a half ago? Somewhere around there? 2 years ago?
Almost 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm hoping, you know, you get, I mean, if I was going to pick the next fight for you, I mean, I'd like to see you fight either Stamen or O'Malley. I think you and O'Malley would be a perfect fight right now.
Yeah, you know, I think definitely O'Malley would be fun. It'd be real fun and getting there with a striker like with him up and coming. You know, he's buzzing right now. He's he's got that whatever that star power, you know, and he's using it. It's good to see a young kid do his thing. It's just, you know, I definitely wouldn't mind getting there and putting him away, but also, you know, he's not ranked. I wouldn't mind getting a ranked fighter. So
right.
We'll see what happens. Right now, my goal is to get this PT finish, get my legs right, you know, it's 100%. I'm feeling like I'm like 75% right now, so
okay,
almost there. Then once I get a name, it's go time. I'm gonna put on a show.
So how did you injure your knee? Did you injured it in training, or did you injure it in a fight?
I injured it in the Ricky Simone fight in the second round.
How was it? Like, did you just move on it wrong and it just popped, or what?
Yeah, he took me down and he kind of triangled my legs.
Okay.
And his hips went down, my knee kind of just buckled.
Uh-huh.
And my AC, and they tore my ACL up.
Did you?
Surgery and
oh no, go ahead, keep going. You're good.
Okay, then I had surgery. I got surgery in January, and then we did our first 3 weeks of physical therapy at the PI in Vegas, and then I came back to Boston, and then now we're finishing up in Boston.
Awesome, man. Did you get a chance to see the Burgos and Emmett fight last night?
I actually did it. We were training with Calvin because trying to get used to training at that time is the main event, so I didn't get to watch it. I heard some great stories. I saw the tweets, and I'm definitely going to go back and watch it tonight.
Yeah, man, that fight was crazy. And he actually blew his knee out. Like, I guess I didn't know, but I guess he blew his knee out like 30 seconds into the first round. And, like, it went all through. Well, I don't want to spoil it for you.
But, please.
Yeah. Is there any fight in particular? I mean, obviously, like, you have Kelvin fighting Ige on Fight Island. Is there any one fight in particular coming up? I mean, either maybe it's Poirier and Hooker or something on Fight Island for 251. Is there one fight that you just can't wait to see?
All I care about is Calvin Kattar, man. That's
right. Right, man.
No, but the Dan Hooker fight, you know, Poirier definitely is going to be a great fight. But right now I'm focused on Calvin, and that's it.
Right, 100%, man. You'll get the strap, and he's working his way up to get the strap. You'll take over both divisions, man. I'm ready for you guys.
That's the plan. That's the plan, man.
Is there anything you want to plug, promote, anything like that? Is there anything you want to shout out on the podcast really quick?
No, I just want to give a huge shout out to my teammates, you know, everybody in the cartel. You know, huge shout out to Top Game Management, Tyson Chartier. You know, yeah, just all my friends, family, everybody supports me. Shout out to you know, all my clients and my students that you know, trust me and work with me. And you know, shout out to you for having me on. So
thank you, man. Yeah, no problem. Thank you for coming on, man. It's been hard getting people on. You know, you reach out and people kind of just throw you to the side. But thank you for you know, giving me the opportunity to interview you.
Of course, man. Of course, man. Sometimes, you know, it took me a while to call you, but I was running around with Kyle and training. But, yeah, man, appreciate the time, man.
No problem, man. All right, I'm going to let you go, but thank you. And we'll catch up, and maybe I'll get your teammate Kelvin on pretty soon. We'll see. I'm
done. Okay, I got you, brother.
All right, man, I'll get him on. Thank you, man.
All right, definitely.
All right, bye.